My yearning to see her, to understand the worship in his voice, broke my frozen pose. I took a step forward. And then Jacob was in my way, his face a mask of worry. "Are you sure, bloodsucker?" he demanded of Edward, his voice almost pleading. I'd never heard him speak to Edward that way. "I don't like this. Maybe she should wait. You had your test, Jacob." It was Jacob's test? "But," Jacob began. "But nothing," Edward said, suddenly exasperated. "Bella needs to see our daughter. Get out of her way." Jacob shot me an odd, frantic look, and then turned and nearly sprinted into the house ahead of us. Edward growled. I couldn't make sense of their confrontation, and I couldn't concentrate on it either. I could only think about the blurred child in my memory and struggle against the haziness, trying to remember her face exactly. "Shall we?" Edward said, his voice gentle again. I nodded nervously. He took my hand tightly in his and led the way into the house. They waited for me in a smiling line that was both welcoming and defensive. Rosalie was several paces behind the rest of them near the front door. She was alone until Jacob joined her, and then stood in front of her, closer than was normal. There was no sense of comfort in that closeness. Both of them seemed to cringe from the proximity. Someone very small was leaning forward out of Rosalie's arms, peering around Jacob. Immediately she had my absolute attention, my every thought, the way nothing else had owned them since the moment I'd opened my eyes. "I was out just 2 days?" I gasped, disbelieving. The stranger child in Rosalie's arms had to be weeks, if not months, old. She was maybe twice the size of the baby in my dim memory, and she seemed to be supporting her own torso easily as she stretched toward me. Her shiny bronze-colored hair fell in ringlets past her shoulders. Her chocolate-brown eyes examined me with an interest that was not at all childlike. It was adult, aware and intelligent. She raised one hand, reaching in my direction for a moment, and then reached back to touch Rosalie's throat. If her face had not been astonishing in its beauty and perfection, I wouldn't have believed it was the same child, my child. But Edward was there in her features, and I was there in the color of her eyes and cheeks. Even Charlie had a place in her thick curls, though their color matched Edward's. She must be ours. Impossible, but still true. Seeing this unanticipated little person did not make her more real, though. It only made her more fantastic. Rosalie patted the hand against her neck and murmured, "Yes, that's her." Renesmee's eyes stayed locked on mine. Then, as she had just seconds after her violent birth, she smiled at me. A brilliant flash of tiny, perfect white teeth. Reeling inside, I took a hesitant step toward her. Everyone moved very fast. Emmett and Jasper were right in front of me, shoulder to shoulder, hands ready. Edward gripped me from behind, fingers tight again on the tops of my arms. Even Carlisle and Esme moved to get Emmett's and Jasper's flanks, while Rosalie backed to the door, her arms clutching at Renesmee. Jacob moved too, keeping his protective stance in front of them. Alice was the only one who held her place. "Oh, give her some credit," she chided them. "She wasn't going to do anything. You'd want a closer look, too." Alice was right. I was in control of myself. I'd been braced for anything, for a scent as impossibly insistent as the human smell in the woods. The temptation here was really not comparable. Renesmee's fragrance was perfectly balanced, right on the line between the scent of the most beautiful perfume and the scent of the most delicious food. There was enough of the sweet vampire smell to keep the human part from being overwhelming. I could handle it, I was sure. "I'm okay," I promised, patting Edward's hand on my arm. Then I hesitated and added, "Keep close, though, just in case." Jasper's eyes were tight, focused. I knew he was taking in my emotional climate, and I worked on settling into a steady calm. I felt Edward free my arms as he read Jasper's assessment. But though Jasper was getting it firsthand, he didn't seem as certain. When she heard my voice, the too aware child struggled in Rosalie's arms, reaching toward me. Somehow her expression managed to look impatient. Jazz, Em, let us through. Bella's got this. Edward, the risk, Jasper said. Minimal. Listen, Jasper. On the hunt, she caught the scent of some hikers who were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I heard Carlyle suck in a shocked breath. Esme's face was suddenly full of concern, mingled with compassion. Jasper's eyes widened, but he nodded just a tiny bit, as if Edward's words answered some question in his head. Jacob's mouth screwed up into a disgusted grimace. Emmett shrugged. Rosalie seemed even less concerned than Emmett as she tried to hold on to the struggling child in her arms. Alice's expression told me that she was not fooled. Her narrowed eyes, focused with burning intensity on my borrowed shirt, seemed more worried about what I'd done to my dress than anything else. Edward, Carlyle chastened. How could you be so irresponsible? I know, Carlyle, I know. I was just plain stupid. I should have taken the time to make sure we were in a safe zone before I set her loose. Edward, I mumbled, embarrassed by the way they stared at me. It was like they were trying to see a brighter red in my eyes. He's absolutely right to rebuke me, Bella, Edward said with a grin. I made a huge mistake. The fact that you are stronger than anyone I've ever known doesn't change that. Alice rolled her eyes. Tasteful joke, Edward. I wasn't making a joke. I was explaining to Jasper why I know Bella can handle this. It's not my fault everyone jumped to conclusions. Wait, Jasper gasped. She didn't hunt the humans? She started to, Edward said, clearly enjoying himself. My teeth ground together. She was entirely focused on the hunt. What happened? Carlyle interjected. His eyes were suddenly bright, an amazed smile beginning to form on his face. It reminded me of before, when he'd wanted the details on my transformation experience, the thrill of new information. Edward leaned toward him, animated. She heard me behind her and reacted defensively. As soon as my pursuit broke into her concentration, she snapped right out of it. I've never seen anything to equal her. She realized at once what was happening, and then she held her breath and ran away. Whoa, Emmett murmured. Seriously? He's not telling it right, I muttered, more embarrassed than before. He left out the part where I growled at him. Did you get in a couple of good swipes? Emmett asked eagerly. No, of course not. No, not really. You really didn't attack him? Emmett, I protested. Ah, what a waste, Emmett groaned. And here you're probably the one person who could take him, since he can't get in your head to cheat. And you had a perfect excuse, too, he sighed. I've been dying to see how we'd do without that advantage. I glared at him frostily. I would never. Jasper's frown caught my attention. He seemed even more disturbed than before. Edward touched his fist lightly to Jasper's shoulder in a mock punch. You see what I mean? It's not natural, Jasper muttered. She could have turned on you. She's only hours old, Esme scolded, putting her hand against her heart. Oh, we should have gone with you. I wasn't paying so much attention now that Edward was past the punchline of his joke. I was staring at the gorgeous child by the door, who was still staring at me. Her little dimpled hands reached out toward me like she knew exactly who I was. Automatically, my hand lifted to mimic hers. Edward, I said, leaning around Jasper to see her better. Please. Jasper's teeth were set. He didn't move. Jazz, this isn't anything you've seen before, Alice said quietly. Trust me. Their eyes met for a short second, and then Jasper nodded. He moved out of my way, but put one hand on my shoulder and moved with me as I walked slowly forward. I thought about every step before I took it, analyzing my mood, the burn in my throat, the position of the others around me, how strong I felt versus how well they would be able to contain me. It was a slow procession. And then the child in Rosalie's arms, struggling and reaching all this time while her expression got more and more irritated, let out a high, ringing wail. Everyone reacted as if, like me, they'd never heard her voice before. They swarmed around her in a second, leaving me standing alone, frozen in place. The sound of Renesmee's cry pierced right through me, spearing me to the floor. My eyes pricked in the strangest way, like they wanted to tear. It seemed like everyone had a hand on her, patting and soothing. Everyone but me. "What's the matter? Is she hurt? What happened?" It was Jacob's voice that was loudest, that raised anxiously above the others. I watched in shock as he reached for Renesmee, and then in utter horror as Rosalie surrendered her to him without a fight. "No, she's fine," Rosalie reassured him. Rosalie was reassuring Jacob. Renesmee went to Jacob willingly enough, pushing her tiny hand against his cheek and then squirming around to stretch toward me again. "See?" Rosalie told him. "She just wants Bella." "She wants me?" I whispered. Renesmee's eyes, my eyes, stared impatiently at me. Edward darted back to my side. He put his hands lightly on my arms and urged me forward. "She's been waiting for you for almost 3 days," he told me. We were only a few feet away from her now. Bursts of heat seemed to tremble out from her to touch me. Or maybe it was Jacob who was trembling. I saw his hands shaking as I got closer. And yet despite his obvious anxiety, his face was more serene than I had seen it in a long time. "Jake, I'm fine," I told him. It made me panicky to see Renesmee and his shaking hands, but I worked to keep myself in control. He frowned at me, eyes tight, like he was just as panicky at the thought of Renesmee in my arms. Renesmee whimpered eagerly and stretched, her little hands grasping into fists again and again. Something in me clicked into place at that moment. The sound of her cry, the familiarity of her eyes, the way she seemed even more impatient than I did for this reunion. All of it wove together into the most natural of patterns as she clutched the air between us. Suddenly, she was absolutely real. And of course, I knew her. It was perfectly ordinary that I should take that last, easy step and reach for her, putting my hands exactly where they would fit best as I pulled her gently toward me. Jacob let his long arms stretch so that I could cradle her, but he didn't let go. He shuddered a little when our skin touched. His skin, always so warm to me before, felt like an open flame to me now. It was almost the same temperature as Renesmee's, perhaps 1 or 2 degrees difference. Renesmee seemed oblivious to the coolness of my skin, or at least very used to it. She looked up and smiled at me again, showing her square little teeth and 2 dimples. Then very deliberately, she reached for my face. The moment she did this, all the hands on me tightened, anticipating my reaction. I barely noticed. I was gasping, stunned and frightened by the strange, alarming image that filled my mind. It felt like a very strong memory. I could still see through my eyes while I watched it in my head, but it was completely unfamiliar. I stared through it to Renesmee's expectant expression, trying to understand what was happening, struggling desperately to hold on to my calm. Besides being shocking and unfamiliar, the image was also wrong somehow. I almost recognized my own face in it, my old face, but it was off, backward. I grasped quickly that I was seeing my face as others saw it, rather than flipped in a reflection. My memory face was twisted, ravaged, covered in sweat and blood. Despite this, my expression in the vision became an adoring smile. My brown eyes glowed over their deep circles. The image enlarged. My face came closer to the unseen vantage point, and then abruptly vanished. Renesmee's hand dropped from my cheek. She smiled wider, dimpling again. It was totally silent in the room, but for the heartbeats. No one but Jacob and Renesmee was so much as breathing. The silence stretched on. It seemed like they were waiting for me to say something. "What was that?" I managed to choke out. "What did you see?" Rosalie asked curiously, leaning around Jacob, who seemed very much in the way and out of place at the moment. "What did she show you?" "She showed me that?" I whispered. "I told you it was hard to explain," Edward murmured in my ear, "but effective as means of communications go." "What was it?" Jacob asked. I blinked quickly several times. Me, I think. But I looked terrible. "It was the only memory she had of you," Edward explained. It was obvious he'd seen what she was showing me as she thought of it. He was still cringing, his voice rough from reliving the memory. "She's letting you know that she's made the connection, that she knows who you are." "But how did she do that?" Renesmee seemed unconcerned with my boggling eyes. She was smiling slightly and pulling on a lock of my hair. "How do I hear thoughts? How does Alice see the future?" Edward asked rhetorically, and then shrugged. "She's gifted." "It's an interesting twist," Carlyle said to Edward. "Like she's doing the exact opposite of what you can." "Interesting," Edward agreed. "I wonder..." I knew they were speculating away, but I didn't care. I was staring at the most beautiful face in the world. She was hot in my arms, reminding me of the moment when the blackness had almost won, when there was nothing in the world left to hold on to. Nothing strong enough to pull me through the crushing darkness. The moment when I thought of Renesmee and found something I would never let go of. "I remember you too," I told her quietly. It seemed very natural to lean in and press my lips to her forehead. She smelled wonderful. The scent of her skin set my throat burning, but it was easy to ignore. It didn't strip the joy from the moment. Renesmee was real, and I knew her. She was the same one I'd fought for from the beginning. My little nudger. The one who loved me from the inside, too. Half Edward, perfect and lovely. And half me, which surprisingly made her better, rather than detracting. I'd been right all along. She was worth the fight. "She's fine," Alice murmured, probably to Jasper. I could feel them hovering, not trusting me. "Haven't we experimented enough for one day?" Jacob asked, his voice a slightly higher pitch with stress. "Okay, Belle's doing great, but let's not push it." I glared at him with real irritation. Jasper shuffled uneasily next to me. We were all crowded so close that every tiny movement seemed very big. "What is your problem, Jacob?" I demanded. I tugged lightly against his hold on Renesmee, and he just stepped closer to me. He was pressed right up to me, Renesmee touching both of our chests. Edward hissed at him. "Just because I understand, it doesn't mean I won't throw you out, Jacob. Bella's doing extraordinarily well. Don't ruin the moment for her." "I'll help him toss you, dog," Rosalie promised, her voice seething. "I owe you a good kick in the gut." Obviously, there was no change in that relationship unless it had gotten worse. I glared at Jacob's anxious, half-angry expression. His eyes were locked on Renesmee's face. With everyone pressed together, he had to be touching at least 6 different vampires at the moment, and it didn't even seem to bug him. Would he really go through all this just to protect me from myself? What could have happened during my transformation, my alteration into something he hated, that would soften him so much toward the reason for its necessity? I puzzled over it, watching him stare at my daughter, staring at her like he was a blind man seeing the sun for the very first time. "No!" I gasped. Jasper's teeth came together and Edward's arms wrapped around my chest like constricting boas. Jacob had Renesmee out of my arms in the same second, and I did not try to hold on to her, because I felt it coming, The snap that they'd all been waiting for? Rose, I said through my teeth, very slowly and precisely, take Renesmee. Rosalie held her hands out, and Jacob handed my daughter to her at once. Both of them backed away from me. Edward, I don't want to hurt you, so please let go of me. He hesitated. Go stand in front of Renesmee, I suggested. He deliberated and then let me go. I leaned into my hunting crouch and took two slow steps forward toward Jacob. You didn't, I snarled at him. He backed away, palms up, trying to reason with me. You know it's not something I can control. You stupid mutt. How could you? My baby. He backed out the front door now as I stalked him, half running backward down the stairs. It wasn't my idea, Bella. I've held her all of one time, and already you think you have some moronic, wolfy claim to her? She's mine. I can share, he said pleadingly as he retreated across the lawn. Pay up, I heard Emmett say behind me. A small part of my brain wondered who had bet against this outcome. I didn't waste much attention on it. I was too furious. How dare you imprint on my baby? Have you lost your mind? It was involuntary, he insisted, backing into the trees. And he wasn't alone. The two huge wolves reappeared, flanking him on either side. Leah snapped at me. A fearsome snarl ripped through my teeth back at her. The sound disturbed me, but not enough to stop my advance. Bella, would you try to listen for just a second, please? Jacob begged. Leah, back off, he added. Leah curled her lip at me and didn't move. Why should I listen? I hissed. Fury reigned in my head. It clouded everything else out. Because you're the one who told me this. Do you remember? You said we belonged in each other's lives, right? That we were family. You said that was how you and I were supposed to be. So now we are. It's what you wanted. I glared ferociously. I did dimly remember those words, but my new quick brain was two steps ahead of his nonsense. You think you'll be part of my family as my son-in-law? I screeched. My bell voice ripped through two octaves and still came out sounding like music. Emmett laughed. Stop her, Edward, Esme murmured. She'll be unhappy if she hurts him. But I felt no pursuit behind me. No, Jacob was insisting at the same time. How can you even look at it that way? She's just a baby for crying out loud. That's my point, I yelled. You know I don't think of her that way. Do you think Edward would have let me live this long if I did? All I want is for her to be safe and happy. Is that so bad? So different from what you want? He was shouting right back at me. Beyond words, I shrieked a growl at him. Amazing, isn't she? I heard Edward murmur. She hasn't gone for his throat even once, Carlyle agreed, sounding stunned. Fine, you win this one, Emmett said grudgingly. You're going to stay away from her, I hissed up at Jacob. I can't do that. Through my teeth. Try. Starting now. It's not possible. Do you remember how much you wanted me around 3 days ago? How hard it was to be apart from each other? That's gone for you now, isn't it? I glared, not sure what he was implying. That was her, he told me. From the very beginning, we had to be together, even then. I remembered, and then I understood. A tiny part of me was relieved to have the madness explained. But that relief somehow only made me angrier. Was he expecting that to be enough for me? That one little clarification would make me okay with this? Run away while you still can, I threatened. Come on, Bells. Nessie likes me too, he insisted. I froze. My breathing stopped. Behind me, I heard the lack of sound that was their anxious reaction. What did you call her? Jacob took a step farther back, managing to look sheepish. "Well," he mumbled, "that name you came up with is kind of a mouthful, and you nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?" I screeched. And then I lunged for his throat. Chapter 23. Memories. "I'm so sorry, Seth. I should have been closer." Edward was still apologizing, and I didn't think that was either fair or appropriate. After all, Edward hadn't completely and inexcusably lost control of his temper. Edward hadn't tried to rip Jacob's head off. Jacob, who wouldn't even phase to protect himself, and then accidentally broken Seth's shoulder and collarbone when he jumped in between. Edward hadn't almost killed his best friend. Not that the best friend didn't have a few things to answer for, but obviously, nothing Jacob had done could have mitigated my behavior. So shouldn't I have been the one apologizing? I tried again. "Seth, I..." "Don't worry about it, Bella. I'm totally fine," Seth said at the same time that Edward said, "Bella, love, no one is judging you. You're doing so well." They hadn't let me finish a sentence yet. It only made it worse that Edward was having a difficult time keeping the smile off his face. I knew that Jacob didn't deserve my overreaction, but Edward seemed to find something satisfying in it. Maybe he was just wishing that he had the excuse of being a newborn so that he could do something physical about his irritation with Jacob, too. I tried to erase the anger from my system entirely, but it was hard, knowing that Jacob was outside with Renesmee right now, keeping her safe from me, the crazed newborn. Carlisle secured another piece of the brace to Seth's arm, and Seth winced. Sorry, I mumbled, knowing I'd never get a fully articulated apology out. "Don't freak, Bella," Seth said, patting my knee with his good hand while Edward rubbed my arm from the other side. Seth seemed to feel no aversion to having me sit beside him on the sofa as Carlisle treated him. "I'll be back to normal in half an hour," he continued, still patting my knee as if oblivious to the cold, hard texture of it. "Anyone would have done the same, what with Jake and Ness." He broke off mid-word and changed the subject quickly. "I mean, at least you didn't bite me or anything. That would have sucked." I buried my face in my hands and shuddered at the thought, at the very real possibility. It could have happened so easily. And werewolves didn't react to vampire venom the same way humans did. They'd told me only now. It was poison to them. "I'm a bad person." "Of course you aren't. I should have..." Edward started. "Stop that," I sighed. I didn't want him taking the blame for this the way he always took everything on himself. "Lucky thing Ness... Renesmee's not venomous," Seth said after a second of awkward silence, "'cause she bites Jake all the time." My hands dropped. "She does?" "Sure. Whenever he and Rose don't get dinner in her mouth fast enough, Rose thinks it's pretty hilarious." I stared at him shocked, and also feeling guilty, because I had to admit that this pleased me a teensy bit in a petulant way. Of course, I already knew that Renesmee wasn't venomous. I was the first person she'd bitten. I didn't make this observation aloud, as I was feigning memory loss on those recent events. "Well, Seth," Carlisle said, straightening up and stepping away from us, "I think that's as much as I can do. Try not to move for, a few hours, I guess." Carlisle chuckled. "I wish treating humans were this instantaneously gratifying." He rested his hand for a moment on Seth's black hair. "Stay still," he ordered, and then he disappeared upstairs. I heard his office door close, and I wondered if they'd already removed the evidence of my time there. "I can probably manage sitting still for a while," Seth agreed after Carlisle was already gone, and then he yawned hugely. Carefully, making sure not to tweak his shoulder, Seth leaned his head against the sofa's back and closed his eyes. Seconds later, his mouth fell slack. I frowned at his peaceful face for another minute. Like Jacob, Seth seemed to have the gift of falling asleep at will. Knowing I wouldn't be able to apologize again for a while, I got up. The motion didn't jostle the couch in the slightest. Everything physical was so easy, but the rest. Edward followed me to the back windows and took my hand. Leah was pacing along the river, stopping every now and then to look at the house. It was easy to tell when she was looking for her brother and when she was looking for me. She alternated between anxious glances and murderous glares. I could hear Jacob and Rosalie outside on the front steps, bickering quietly over whose turn it was to feed Renesmee. Their relationship was as antagonistic as ever. The only thing they agreed on now was that I should be kept away from my baby until I was 100% recovered from my temper tantrum. Edward had disputed their verdict, but I'd let it go. I wanted to be sure, too. I was worried, though, that my 100% sure and their 100% sure might be very different things. Other than their squabbling, Seth's slow breathing and Leah's annoyed panting, it was very quiet. Emmett, Alice, and Esme were hunting. Jasper had stayed behind to watch me. He stood unobtrusively behind the newel post now, trying not to be obnoxious about it. I took advantage of the calm to think of all the things Edward and Seth had told me while Carlisle splinted Seth's arm. I'd missed a whole lot while I was burning, and this was the first real chance to catch up. The main thing was the end of the feud with Sam's pack, which was why the others felt safe to come and go as they pleased again. The truce was stronger than ever, or more binding, depending on your viewpoint, I imagined. Binding, because the most absolute of all the pack's laws was that no wolf ever kill the object of another wolf's imprinting. The pain of such a thing would be intolerable for the whole pack. The fault, whether intended or accidental, could not be forgiven. The wolves involved would fight to the death. There was no other option. It had happened long ago, Seth told me, but only accidentally. No wolf would ever intentionally destroy a brother that way. So Renesmee was untouchable because of the way Jacob now felt about her. I tried to concentrate on the relief of this fact rather than the chagrin, but it wasn't easy. My mind had enough room to feel both emotions intensely at the same time. And Sam couldn't get mad about my transformation either, because Jacob, speaking as the rightful alpha, had allowed it. It rankled to realize over and over again how much I owed Jacob when I just wanted to be mad at him. I deliberately redirected my thoughts in order to control my emotions. I considered another interesting phenomenon. Though the silence between the separate packs continued, Jacob and Sam had discovered that alphas could speak to each other while in their wolf form. It wasn't the same as before. They couldn't hear every thought the way they had prior to the split. It was more like speaking aloud, Seth had said. Sam could only hear the thoughts Jacob wanted to share, and vice versa. They found they could communicate over distance, too, now that they were talking to each other again. They hadn't found all this out until Jacob had gone alone, over Seth's and Leah's objections, to explain to Sam about Renesmee. It was the only time he'd left Renesmee since first laying eyes on her. Once Sam had understood how absolutely everything had changed, he'd come back with Jacob to talk to Carlisle. They'd spoken in human form. Edward had refused to leave my side to translate, and the treaty had been renewed. The friendly feeling of the relationship, however, might never be the same. One big worry down. But there was another that, though not as physically dangerous as an angry wolf pack, still seemed more urgent to me. Charlie. He'd spoken to Esme earlier this morning, but that hadn't kept him from calling again, twice, just a few minutes ago, while Carlisle treated Seth. Carlisle and Edward had let the phone ring. What would be the right thing to tell him? Were the Cullens right? Was telling him that I died the best, the kindest way? Would I be able to lie still in a coffin while he and my mother cried over me? It didn't seem right to me. But putting Charlie or Renee in danger of the Volturi's obsession with secrecy was clearly out of the question. There was still my idea. Let Charlie see me, when I was ready for that, and let him make his own wrong assumptions. Technically, the vampire rules would remain unbroken. Wouldn't it be better for Charlie if he knew that I was alive? Sort of. And happy? Even if I was strange and different and probably frightening to him? My eyes in particular were much too frightening right now. How long before my self-control and my eye color were ready for Charlie? What's the matter, Bella? Jasper asked, quietly, reading my growing tension. No one is angry with you. A low snarl from the riverside contradicted him, but he ignored it. We're even surprised, really. Well, I suppose we are surprised. Surprised that you were able to snap out of it so quickly. You did well, better than anyone expects of you. While he was speaking, the room became very calm. Seth's breathing slipped into a low snore. I felt more peaceful, but I didn't forget my anxieties. I was thinking about Charlie, actually. Out front, the bickering cut off. Ah, Jasper murmured. We really have to leave, don't we? I asked. For a while, at the very least. Pretend we're in Atlanta or something? I could feel Edward's gaze locked on my face, but I looked at Jasper. He was the one who answered me in a grave tone. Yes, it's the only way to protect your father. I brooded for a moment. I'm going to miss him so much. I'll miss everyone here. Jacob, I thought, despite myself. Though that yearning was both vanished and defined, and I was vastly relieved that it was, he was still my friend. Someone who knew the real me and accepted her, even as a monster. I thought about what Jacob had said, pleading with me before I'd attacked him. You said we belonged in each other's lives, right? That we were a family. You said that was how you and I were supposed to be. So, now we are. It's what you wanted. But it didn't feel like how I'd wanted it. Not exactly. I remembered further back to the fuzzy, weak memories of my human life. Back to the very hardest part to remember. The time without Edward. A time so dark I'd tried to bury it in my head. I couldn't get the words exactly right. I only remembered wishing that Jacob were my brother so that we could love each other without any confusion or pain. Family. But I'd never factored a daughter into the equation. I remembered a little later, one of the many times that I'd told Jacob goodbye, wondering aloud who he would end up with. Who would make his life right after what I'd done to it? I had said something about how whoever she was, she wouldn't be good enough for him. I snorted, and Edward raised one eyebrow questioningly. I just shook my head at him. But as much as I might miss my friend, I knew there was a bigger problem. Had Sam or Jared or Quill ever gone a whole day without seeing the objects of their fixations? Emily, Kim, and Claire? Could they? What would this separation from Renesmee do to Jacob? Would it cause him pain? There was still enough petty ire in my system to make me glad, not for his pain, but for the idea of having Renesmee away from him. How was I supposed to deal with having her belong to Jacob when she only barely seemed to belong to me? The sound of movement on the front porch interrupted my thoughts. I heard them get up, and then they were through the door. At exactly the same time, Carlyle came down the stairs with his hands full of odd things, a measuring tape, a scale. Jasper darted to my side, as if there were some signal I'd missed. Even Leah sat down outside and stared through the window with an expression like she was expecting something that was both familiar and also totally uninteresting. Must be six, Edward said. So? I asked, my eyes locked on Rosalie, Jacob, and Renesmee. They stood in the doorway, Renesmee in Rosalie's arms. Rose looked wary. Jacob looked troubled. Renesmee looked beautiful and impatient. Time to measure Renesmee, Carlyle explained. Oh, you do this every day? 4 times a day. Carlyle corrected absently as he motioned the others toward the couch. I thought I saw Renesmee sigh. 4 times? Every day? Why? She's still growing quickly, Edward murmured to me, his voice quiet and strained. He squeezed my hand, and his other arm wrapped securely around my waist, almost as if he needed the support. I couldn't take my eyes off Renesmee to check his expression. She looked perfect. Absolutely healthy. Her skin glowed like backlit alabaster. The color in her cheeks was rose petals against it. There couldn't be anything wrong with such radiant beauty. Surely there could be nothing more dangerous in her life than her mother. Could there? The difference between the child I'd given birth to and the one I'd met again an hour ago would have been obvious to anyone. The difference between Renesmee an hour ago and Renesmee now was subtler. Human eyes never would have detected it, but it was there. Her body was slightly longer, just a little bit slimmer. Her face wasn't quite as round. It was more oval by one minute degree. Her ringlets hung a 1/16th of an inch lower down her shoulders. She stretched out helpfully in Rosalie's arms while Carlyle ran the tape measure down the length of her and then used it to circle her head. He took no notes. Perfect recall. I was aware that Jacob's arms were crossed as tightly over his chest as Edward's arms were locked around me. His heavy brows were mashed together into one line over his deep-set eyes. She had matured from a single cell to a normal-sized baby in the course of a few weeks. She looked well on her way to being a toddler just days after her birth. If this rate of growth held, my vampire mind had no trouble with the math. "What do we do?" I whispered, horrified. Edward's arms tightened. He understood exactly what I was asking. "I don't know." "It's slowing," Jacob muttered through his teeth. "We'll need several more days of measurements to track the trend, Jacob. I can't make any promises. Yesterday she grew 2 inches. Today it's less." "By a 1/32nd of an inch, if my measurements are perfect," Carlyle said quietly. "Be perfect, Doc," Jacob said, making the words almost threatening. Rosalie stiffened. "You know I'll do my best," Carlyle assured him. Jacob sighed. "Guess that's all I can ask." I felt irritated again, like Jacob was stealing my lines and delivering them all wrong. Renesmee seemed irritated too. She started to squirm and then reached her hand imperiously toward Rosalie. Rosalie leaned forward so that Renesmee could touch her face. After a second, Rose sighed. "What does she want?" Jacob demanded, taking my line again. "Bella, of course," Rosalie told him, and her words made my insides feel a little warmer, and she looked at me. "How are you?" "Worried," I admitted, and Edward squeezed me. "We all are, but that's not what I meant." "I'm in control," I promised. Thirstiness was way down the list right now. Besides, Renesmee smelled good in a very non-food way. Jacob bit his lip but made no move to stop Rosalie as she offered Renesmee to me. Jasper and Edward hovered but allowed it. I could see how tense Rose was, and I wondered how the room felt to Jasper right now. Or was he focusing so hard on me that he couldn't feel the others? Renesmee reached for me as I reached for her, a blinding smile lighting her face. She fit so easily in my arms, like they'd been shaped just for her. Immediately, she put her hot little hand against my cheek. Though I was prepared, it still made me gasp to see the memory like a vision in my head, so bright and colorful, but also completely transparent. She was remembering me charging Jacob across the front lawn, remembering Seth leaping between us. She'd seen and heard it all with perfect clarity. It didn't look like me, this graceful predator leaping at her prey like an arrow arcing from a bow. It had to be someone else. That made me feel a very small bit less guilty as Jacob stood there defenselessly with his hands raised in front of him. His hands did not tremble. Edward chuckled, watching Renesmee's thoughts with me, and then we both winced as we heard the crack of Seth's bones. Renesmee smiled her brilliant smile, and her memory eyes did not leave Jacob through all the following mess. I tasted a new flavor to the memory, not exactly protective, more possessive, as she watched Jacob. I got the distinct impression that she was glad Seth had put himself in front of my spring. She didn't want Jacob hurt. He was hers. "Oh, wonderful," I groaned. "Perfect." "It's just because he tastes better than the rest of us," Edward assured me, voice stiff with his own annoyance. "I told you she likes me too," Jacob teased from across the room, his eyes on Renesmee. His joking was half-hearted. The tense angle of his eyebrows had not relaxed. Renesmee patted my face impatiently, demanding my attention. Another memory. Rosalie pulling a brush gently through each of her curls. It felt nice. Carlisle and his tape measure, knowing she had to stretch and be still. It was not interesting to her. It looks like she's going to give you a rundown of everything you missed, Edward commented in my ear. My nose wrinkled as she dumped the next one on me, the smell coming from a strange metal cup, hard enough not to be bitten through easily, sent a flash burn through my throat. Ouch! And then Renesmee was out of my arms, which were pinned behind my back. I didn't struggle with Jasper. I just looked at Edward's frightened face. What did I do? Edward looked at Jasper behind me, and then at me again. But she was remembering being thirsty, Edward muttered, his forehead pressing into lines. She was remembering the taste of human blood. Jasper's arms pulled mine tighter together. Part of my head noted that this wasn't particularly uncomfortable, let alone painful, as it would have been to a human. It was just annoying. I was sure I could break his hold, but I didn't fight it. Yes, I agreed. And? Edward frowned at me for a second more, and then his expression loosened. He laughed once. And nothing at all, it seems. The overreaction is mine this time. Jazz, let her go. The binding hands disappeared. I reached out for Renesmee as soon as I was free. Edward handed her to me without hesitation. I can't understand, Jasper said. I can't bear this. I watched in surprise as Jasper strode out the back door. Leah moved to give him a wide margin of space as he paced to the river and then launched himself over it in one bound. Renesmee touched my neck, repeating the scene of departure right back, like an instant replay. I could feel the question in her thought, an echo of mine. I was already over the shock of her odd little gift. It seemed an entirely natural part of her, almost to be expected. Maybe now that I was part of the supernatural myself, I would never be a skeptic again. But what was wrong with Jasper? He'll be back, Edward said. Whether to me or Renesmee, I wasn't sure. He just needs a moment alone to readjust his perspective on life. There was a grin threatening at the corners of his mouth. Another human memory. Edward telling me that Jasper would feel better about himself if I had a hard time adjusting to being a vampire. This was in the context of a discussion about how many people I would kill my first newborn year. Is he mad at me? I asked quietly. Edward's eyes widened. No, why would he be? What's the matter with him then? He's upset with himself, not you, Bella. He's worrying about self-fulfilling prophecy, I suppose you could say. How so? Carlisle asked before I could. He's wondering if the newborn madness is really as difficult as we've always thought, or if, with the right focus and attitude, anyone could do as well as Bella. Even now, perhaps he only has such difficulty because he believes it's natural and unavoidable. Maybe if he expected more of himself, he would rise to those expectations. You're making him question a lot of deep-rooted assumptions, Bella. But that's unfair, Carlisle said. Everyone is different. Everyone has their own challenges. Perhaps what Bella is doing goes beyond the natural. Maybe this is her gift, so to speak. I froze with surprise. Renesmee felt the change and touched me. She remembered the last second of time and wondered why. That's an interesting theory and quite plausible, Edward said. For a tiny space, I was disappointed. What? No magic visions? No formidable offensive abilities like, shooting lightning bolts from my eyes or something? Nothing helpful or cool at all? And then I realized what that might mean. If my superpower was no more than exceptional self-control. For one thing, at least I had a gift. It could have been nothing. But much more than that, if Edward was right, then I could skip right over the part I'd feared the very most. What if I didn't have to be a newborn? Not in the crazed killing machine sense, anyway. What if I could fit right in with the Cullens from my first day? What if we didn't have to hide out somewhere remote for a year while I grew up? What if, like Carlyle, I never killed a single person? What if I could be a good vampire right away? I could see Charlie. I sighed as soon as reality filtered through hope. I couldn't see Charlie right away. The eyes, the voice, the perfected face. What could I possibly say to him? How could I even begin? I was furtively glad that I had some excuses for putting things off for a while. As much as I wanted to find some way to keep Charlie in my life, I was terrified of that first meeting. Seeing his eyes pop as he took in my new face, my new skin. Knowing that he was frightened. Wondering what dark explanation would form in his head. I was chicken enough to wait for a year while my eyes cooled. And here I thought I would be so fearless when I was indestructible. Have you ever seen an equivalent to self-control as a talent? Edward asked Carlyle. Do you really think that's a gift? Or just a product of all her preparation? Carlyle shrugged. It's slightly similar to what Siobhan has always been able to do, though she wouldn't call it a gift. Siobhan, your friend in that Irish coven, Rosalie asked. I wasn't aware that she did anything special. I thought it was Maggie who was talented in that bunch. Yes, Siobhan thinks the same, but she has this way of deciding her goals and then almost willing them into reality. She considers it good planning, but I've always wondered if it was something more. When she included Maggie, for instance. Liam was very territorial, but Siobhan wanted it to work out, and so it did. Edward, Carlyle, and Rosalie settled into chairs as they continued with the discussion. Jacob sat next to Seth protectively, looking bored. From the way his eyelids drooped, I was sure he'd be unconscious momentarily. I listened, but my attention was divided. Renesmee was still telling me about her day. I held her by the window wall, my arms rocking her automatically as we stared into each other's eyes. I realized that the others had no reason for sitting down. I was perfectly comfortable standing. It was just as restful as stretching out on a bed would be. I knew I would be able to stand like this for a week without moving, and I would feel just as relaxed at the end of the 7 days as I did at the beginning. They must sit out of habit. Humans would notice someone standing for hours without ever shifting her weight to a different foot. Even now, I saw Rosalie brush her fingers against her hair and Carlyle cross his legs. Little motions to keep from being too still, too much a vampire. I would have to pay attention to what they did and start practicing. I rolled my weight back to my left leg. It felt kind of silly. Maybe they were just trying to give me a little alone time with my baby. As alone as was safe. Renesmee told me about every minute happening of the day, and I got the feeling from the tenor of her little stories that she wanted me to know her every bit as much as I wanted the same thing. It worried her that I had missed things, like the sparrows that had hopped closer and closer when Jacob had held her, both of them very still beside one of the big hemlocks. The birds wouldn't come close to Rosalie, or the outrageously icky white stuff, baby formula, that Carlyle had put in her cup. It smelled like sour dirt. Or the song Edward had crooned to her that was so perfect, Renesmee played it for me twice. I was surprised that I was in the background of that memory, perfectly motionless, but looking fairly battered still. I shuddered, remembering that time from my own perspective. The hideous fire. After almost an hour, the others were still deeply absorbed in their discussion. Seth and Jacob snoring in harmony on the couch. Renesmee's memory stories began to slow. They got slightly blurry around the edges and drifted out of focus before they came to their conclusions. I was about to interrupt Edward in a panic. Was there something wrong with her? When her eyelids fluttered and closed. She yawned. Her plump pink lips stretching into a round O, and her eyes never reopened. Her hand fell away from my face as she drifted to sleep. The backs of her eyelids were the pale lavender color of thin clouds before the sunrise. Careful not to disturb her, I lifted that hand back to my skin and held it there curiously. At first there was nothing. And then, after a few minutes, a flickering of colors like a handful of butterflies were scattering from her thoughts. Mesmerized, I watched her dreams. There was no sense to it, just colors and shapes and faces. I was pleased by how often my face, both of my faces, hideous human and glorious immortal, cropped up in her unconscious thoughts, more than Edward or Rosalie. I was neck and neck with Jacob. I tried not to let that get to me. For the first time, I understood how Edward had been able to watch me sleep night after boring night, just to hear me talk in my sleep. I could watch Renesmee dream forever. The change in Edward's tone caught my attention when he said, "Finally," and turned to gaze out the window. It was deep, purpley night outside, but I could see just as far as before. Nothing was hidden in the darkness. Everything had just changed colors. Leah, still glowering, got up and slunk into the brush, just as Alice came into view on the other side of the river. Alice swung back and forth from a branch like a trapeze artist, toes touching hands, before throwing her body into a graceful flat spin over the river. Esmee made a more traditional leap, while Emmett charged right through the water, splashing water so far that splatters hit the back windows. To my surprise, Jasper followed after, his own efficient leap seeming understated, even subtle after the others. The huge grin stretching Alice's face was familiar in a dim, odd way. Everyone was suddenly smiling at me. Esmee sweet, Emmett excited, Rosalie a little superior, Carlyle indulgent, and Edward expectant. Alice skipped into the room ahead of everyone else, her hands stretched out in front of her, and impatience making a nearly visible aura around her. In her palm was an everyday brass key with an oversized pink satin bow tied around it. She held the key out for me, and I automatically gripped Renesmee more securely in my right arm so that I could open my left. Alice dropped the key into it. "Happy birthday," she squealed. I rolled my eyes. "No one starts counting on the actual day of birth," I reminded her. "Your first birthday is at the year mark, Alice." Her grin turned smug. "We're not celebrating your vampire birthday yet. It's September 13th, Bella. Happy 19th birthday." Chapter 24. Surprise. No way. I shook my head fiercely and then shot a glance at the smug smile on my 17-year-old husband's face. "No, this doesn't count. I stopped aging 3 days ago. I am 18 forever." "Whatever," Alice said, dismissing my protest with a quick shrug. "We're celebrating anyway, so suck it up." I sighed. There was rarely a point to arguing with Alice. Her grin got impossibly wider as she read the acquiescence in my eyes. "Are you ready to open your present?" Alice sang. "Presents," Edward corrected, and he pulled another key, this one longer and silver with a less gaudy blue bow, from his pocket. I struggled to keep from rolling my eyes. I knew immediately what this key was to, the after car. I wondered if I should feel excited. It seemed the vampire conversion hadn't given me any sudden interest in sports cars. "Mine first," Alice said, and then stuck her tongue out, foreseeing his answer. "Mine is closer." "But look at how she's dressed." Alice's words were almost a moan. "It's been killing me all day. That is clearly the priority." My eyebrows pulled together as I wondered how a key could get me into new clothes. Had she gotten me a whole trunkful? "I know. I'll play you for it," Alice suggested. "Rock, paper, scissors." Jasper chuckled and Edward sighed. "Why don't you just tell me who wins?" Edward said wryly. Alice beamed. "I do. Excellent." "It's probably better that I wait for morning anyway," Edward smiled crookedly at me and then nodded toward Jacob and Seth, who looked like they were crashed for the night. I wonder how long they'd stayed up this time. I think it might be more fun if Jacob was awake for the big reveal, don't you agree? So that someone there is able to express the right level of enthusiasm. I grinned back. He knew me well. Yay! Alice sang. Bella, give Ness Renesmee to Rosalie. Where does she usually sleep? Alice shrugged. In Rose's arms? Or Jacob's? Or Esme's? You get the picture. She has never been set down in her entire life. She's going to be the most spoiled half-vampire in existence. Edward laughed while Rosalie took Renesmee expertly in her arms. She is also the most unspoiled half-vampire in existence, Rosalie said. The beauty of being one of a kind. Rosalie grinned at me, and I was glad to see that the new comradeship between us was still there in her smile. I hadn't been entirely sure it would last after Renesmee's life was no longer tied to mine. But maybe we had fought together on the same side long enough that we would always be friends now. I'd finally made the same choice she would have if she'd been in my shoes. That seemed to have washed away her resentment for all my other choices. Alice shoved the beribboned key in my hand, then grabbed my elbow and steered me toward the back door. Let's go! Let's go! She trilled. Is it outside? Sort of, Alice said, pushing me forward. Enjoy your gift, Rosalie said. It's from all of us, Esme especially. Aren't you coming too? I realized that no one had moved. We'll give you a chance to appreciate it alone, Rosalie said. You can tell us about it later. Emmett guffawed. Something about his laugh made me feel like blushing, though I wasn't sure why. I realized that lots of things about me, like truly hating surprises and not liking gifts in general much more, had not changed one bit. It was a relief and revelation to discover how much of my essential core traits had come with me into this new body. I hadn't expected to be myself. I smiled widely. Alice tugged my elbow, and I couldn't stop smiling as I followed her into the purple night. Only Edward came with us. There's the enthusiasm I'm looking for, Alice murmured approvingly. Then she dropped my arm, made two lithe bounds, and leaped over the river. Come on, Bella, she called from the other side. Edward jumped at the same time I did. It was every bit as fun as it had been this afternoon. Maybe a little bit more fun, because the night changed everything into new, rich colors. Alice took off with us on her heels, heading due north. It was easier to follow the sound of her feet whispering against the ground and the fresh path of her scent than it was to keep my eyes on her through the thick vegetation. At no sign I could see, she whirled and dashed back to where I paused. Don't attack me, she warned, and sprang at me. What are you doing? I demanded, squirming as she scrambled onto my back and wrapped her hands around my face. I felt the urge to throw her off, but I controlled it. Making sure you can't see. I could take care of that without the theatrics, Edward offered. You might let her cheat. Take her hand and lead her forward. Alice, don't bother, Bella. We're doing this my way. I felt Edward's fingers weave through mine. Just a few seconds more, Bella, and she'll go annoy someone else. He pulled me forward. I kept up easily. I wasn't afraid of hitting a tree. The tree would be the only one getting hurt in that scenario. You might be a little more appreciative, Alice chided him. This is as much for you as it is for her. True. Thank you again, Alice. Yeah, okay. Alice's voice suddenly shot up with excitement. Stop there! Turn her just a little to the right. Yes, like that. Okay, are you ready? She squeaked. I'm ready. There were new scents here, piquing my interest, increasing my curiosity. Scents that didn't belong in the deep woods. Honeysuckle, smoke, roses, sawdust, something metallic too. the richness of deep earth dug up and exposed. I leaned toward the mystery. Alice hopped down from my back, releasing her grip on my eyes. I stared into the violet dark. There, nestled into a small clearing in the forest, was a tiny stone cottage, lavender gray in the light of the stars. It belonged here so absolutely that it seemed as if it must have grown from the rock, a natural formation. Honeysuckle climbed up one wall like a lattice, winding all the way up and over the thick wooden shingles. Late summer roses bloomed in a handkerchief-sized garden under the dark, deep-set windows. There was a little path of flat stones, amethyst in the night, that led up to the quaint arched wooden door. I curled my hand around the key I held, shocked. "What do you think?" Alice's voice was soft now. It fit with the perfect quiet of the storybook scene. I opened my mouth but said nothing. Esme thought we might like a place of our own for a while, but she didn't want us too far away, Edward murmured, and she loves any excuse to renovate. This little place has been crumbling away out here for at least 100 years. I continued staring, mouth gaping like a fish. "Don't you like it?" Alice's face fell. "I mean, I'm sure we could fix it up differently if you want. Emmett was all for adding a few thousand square feet, a second story, columns, and a tower, but Esme thought you would like it best the way it was meant to look." Her voice started to climb to go faster. "If she was wrong, we can get back to work. It won't take long to..." "Shh," I managed. She pressed her lips together and waited. It took me a few seconds to recover. "You're giving me a house for my birthday?" I whispered. "Us," Edward corrected, "and it's no more than a cottage. I think the word house implies more legroom." "No knocking my house," I whispered to him. Alice beamed. "You like it?" I shook my head. "Love it?" I nodded. "I can't wait to tell Esme. Why didn't she come?" Alice's smile faded a little, twisted just off what it had been, like my question was hard to answer. "Oh, you know, they all remember how you are about presents. They didn't want to put you under too much pressure to like it. But of course I love it. How could I not?" "They'll like that," she patted my arm. "Anywho, your closet is stocked. Use it wisely. And I guess that's everything. Aren't you going to come inside?" She strolled casually a few feet back. "Edward knows his way around. I'll stop by later. Call me if you can't match your clothes right." She threw me a doubtful look and then smiled. "Jazz wants to hunt. See you." She shot off into the trees like the most graceful bullet. "That was weird," I said, when the sound of her flight had vanished completely. "Am I really that bad? They didn't have to stay away. Now I feel guilty. I didn't even thank her right. We should go back. Tell Esme." "Bella, don't be silly. No one thinks you're that unreasonable." "Then what?" "Alone time is their other gift." Alice was trying to be subtle about it. "Oh." That was all it took to make the house disappear. We could have been anywhere. I didn't see the trees or the stones or the stars. It was just Edward. "Let me show you what they've done," he said, pulling my hand. Was he oblivious to the fact that an electric current was pulsing through my body like adrenaline-spiked blood? Once again, I felt oddly off balance, waiting for reactions my body wasn't capable of anymore. My heart should have been thundering like a steam engine about to hit us, deafening. My cheeks should have been brilliant red. For that matter, I ought to have been exhausted. This had been the longest day of my life. I laughed out loud. Just one quiet little laugh of shock, when I realized that this day would never end. "Do I get to hear the joke?" "It's not a very good one," I told him as he led the way to the little rounded door. "I was just thinking, today is the first and last day of forever. It's kind of hard to wrap my head around it, even with all this extra room for wrapping." I laughed again. He chuckled with me. He held his hand out toward the doorknob, waiting for me to do the honors. I stuck the key in the lock and turned it. You're such a natural at this, Bella. I forget how very strange this all must be for you. I wish I could hear it. He ducked down and yanked me up into his arms so fast that I didn't see it coming, and that was really something. Hey! Thresholds are part of my job description, he reminded me. But I'm curious. Tell me what you're thinking about right now. He opened the door. It fell back with a barely audible creak, and stepped through into the little stone living room. Everything, I told him. All at the same time, you know. Good things, and things to worry about, and things that are new. How I keep using too many superlatives in my head. Right now, I'm thinking that Esme is an artist. It's so perfect. The cottage room was something from a fairy tale. The floor was a crazy quilt of smooth, flat stones. The low ceiling had long, exposed beams that someone as tall as Jacob would surely knock his head on. The walls were warm wood in some places, stone mosaics in others. The beehive fireplace in the corner held the remains of a slow, flickering fire. It was driftwood burning there. The low flames were blue and green from the salt. It was furnished in eclectic pieces, not one of them matching another, but harmonious just the same. One chair seemed vaguely medieval, while a low ottoman by the fire was more contemporary, and the stocked bookshelf against the far window reminded me of movies set in Italy. Somehow each piece fit together with the others like a big, three-dimensional puzzle. There were a few paintings on the walls that I recognized, some of my very favorites from the big house. Priceless originals, no doubt, but they seemed to belong here too, like all the rest. It was a place where anyone could believe magic existed. A place where you just expected Snow White to walk right in with her apple in hand, or a unicorn to stop and nibble at the rose bushes. Edward had always thought that he belonged to the world of horror stories. Of course, I'd known he was dead wrong. It was obvious that he belonged here, in a fairy tale. And now I was in the story with him. I was about to take advantage of the fact that he hadn't gotten around to setting me back on my feet, and that his wit's scramblingly beautiful face was only inches away when he said, "We're lucky Esme thought to add an extra room. No one was planning for Nest Renesme." I frowned at him. My thoughts channeled down a less pleasant path. "Not you too," I complained. "Sorry, love. I hear it in their thoughts all the time, you know. It's rubbing off on me." I sighed. My baby. The sea serpent. Maybe there was no help for it. Well, I wasn't giving in. "I'm sure you're dying to see the closet. Or at least, I'll tell Alice that you were, to make her feel good." "Should I be afraid?" "Terrified." He carried me down a narrow stone hallway with tiny arches in the ceiling, like it was our own miniature castle. "That will be Renesmee's room," he said, nodding to an empty room with a pale wooden floor. They didn't have time to do much with it, what with the angry werewolves. I laughed quietly, amazed at how quickly everything had turned right when it had all looked so nightmarish just a week ago. Drat Jacob for making everything perfect this way. "Here's our room. Esme tried to bring some of her island back here for us. She guessed that we would get attached." The bed was huge and white, with clouds of gossamer floating down from the canopy to the floor. The pale wood floor matched the other room, and now I grasped that it was precisely the color of a pristine beach. The walls were that almost white blue of a brilliant sunny day, and the back wall had big glass doors that opened to a little hidden garden. Climbing roses and a small round pond, smooth as a mirror and edged with shiny stones. A tiny calm ocean for us. "Oh," was all I could say. "I know," he whispered. We stood there for a minute remembering. Though the memories were human and clouded, they took over my mind completely. He smiled a wide, gleaming smile and then laughed. "The closet is through those double doors. I should warn you. It's bigger than this room." I didn't even glance at the doors. There was nothing else in the world but him again. His arms curled under me, his sweet breath on my face, his lips just inches from mine. And there was nothing that could distract me now, newborn vampire or not. "We're going to tell Alice that I ran right to the close," I whispered, twisting my fingers into his hair and pulling my face closer to his. "We're going to tell her I spent hours in there playing dress-up. We're going to lie." He caught up to my mood in an instant, or maybe he'd already been there, and he was just trying to let me fully appreciate my birthday present like a gentleman. He pulled my face to his with a sudden fierceness, a low moan in his throat. The sound sent the electric current running through my body into a near frenzy, like I couldn't get close enough to him fast enough. I heard the fabric tearing under our hands, and I was glad my clothes, at least, were already destroyed. It was too late for his. It felt almost rude to ignore the pretty white bed, but we just weren't going to make it that far. This second honeymoon wasn't like our first. Our time on the island had been the epitome of my human life, the very best of it. I'd been so ready to string along my human time just to hold on to what I had with him for a little while longer, because the physical part wasn't going to be the same ever again. I should have guessed, after a day like today, that it would be better. I could really appreciate him now, could properly see every beautiful line of his perfect face, of his long, flawless body with my strong new eyes, every angle and every plane of him. I could taste his pure, vivid scent on my tongue and feel the unbelievable silkiness of his marble skin under my sensitive fingertips. My skin was so sensitive under his hands, too. He was all new, a different person as our bodies tangled gracefully into one on the sand-pale floor. No caution, no restraint, no fear, especially not that. We could love together. Both active participants now, finally equals. Like our kisses before, every touch was more than I was used to. So much of himself he'd been holding back, necessary at the time, but I couldn't believe how much I'd been missing. I tried to keep in mind that I was stronger than he was, but it was hard to focus on anything with sensations so intense, pulling my attention to a million different places in my body every second. If I hurt him, he didn't complain. It didn't help that she continued from her first word to her first sentence in the same breath. "Mama, where is Grandpa?" she'd asked in a clear, high soprano, only bothering to speak aloud because I was across the room from her. She'd already asked Rosalie, using her normal, or seriously abnormal from another point of view, means of communication. Rosalie hadn't known the answer, so Renesmee had turned to me. When she walked for the first time, fewer than 3 weeks later, it was similar. She'd simply stared at Alice for a long moment, watching intently as her aunt arranged bouquets in the vases scattered around the room, dancing back and forth across the floor with her arms full of flowers. Renesmee got to her feet, not in the least bit shaky, and crossed the floor almost as gracefully. Jacob had burst into applause, because that was clearly the response Renesmee wanted. The way he was tied to her made his own reaction secondary. His first reflex was always to give Renesmee whatever she needed. But our eyes met, and I saw all the panic in mine echoed in his. I made my hands clap together too, trying to hide my fear from her. Edward applauded quietly at my side, and we didn't need to speak our thoughts to know they were the same. Edward and Carlyle threw themselves into research, looking for any answers, anything to expect. There was very little to be found, and none of it verifiable. Alice and Rosalie usually began our day with a fashion show. Renesmee never wore the same clothes twice, partly because she outgrew her clothes almost immediately, and partly because Alice and Rosalie were trying to create a baby album that appeared to span years rather than weeks. They took thousands of pictures, documenting every phase of her accelerated childhood. At 3 months, Renesmee could have been a big one-year-old or a small two-year-old. She wasn't shaped exactly like a toddler, She was leaner and more graceful. Her proportions were more even, like an adult's. Her bronze ringlets hung to her waist. I couldn't bear to cut them, even if Alice would have allowed it. Renesmee could speak with flawless grammar and articulation, but she rarely bothered, preferring to simply show people what she wanted. She could not only walk, but run and dance. She could even read. I had been reading Tennyson to her one night, because the flow and rhythm of his poetry seemed restful. I had to search constantly for new material. Renesmee didn't like repetition in her bedtime stories, as other children supposedly did, and she had no patience for picture books. She reached up to touch my cheek, the image in her mind one of us, only with her holding the book. I gave it to her, smiling. "There is sweet music here," she read without hesitation. "That softer falls than petals from blown roses on the grass, or night dews on still waters between walls of shadowy granite in a gleaming pass." My hand was robotic as I took the book back. "If you read, how will you fall asleep?" I asked in a voice that had barely escaped shaking.